Good morning and welcome. You may turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. I'd like to share a message from this passage this morning. I'm not always sure how God directs in the lives of his people. I think one of the reasons that I chose this passage is because I recently read through it in my personal devotions. And also, as far as God's leading, as I mentioned, I'm not always sure how that all works, but I was brushing my teeth this morning and a title came to me. So I don't understand God's ways, but I'm thankful this morning that God does work in the lives of his people. The title this morning is The Joy of Knowing Jesus. 1 John chapter 1. I will read the passage this time. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And there's my text verse. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This morning, the goal of the message is to remind us as believers the joy that we can possess through believing and receiving and following Jesus. We live in a cold, dark world. Do you know what it means to have Jesus in your life? Do you know what it means to have that joy that we can possess as Christian believers? I know we have our ups and downs, at least I do, and I'm assuming that you do. We go through the circumstances of life, and we go up through the valleys and up the hills. But in the heart of our life, do we have the love, the joy, the peace that God wants us to have? John writes this passage, I believe, was nearly a generation after Jesus' earthly ministry. So time has elapsed from Jesus coming till he writes this passage. John had been an eyewitness of Jesus. He was in that inner circle. And so he witnessed Jesus' life, his teaching. He sat under the teaching of Jesus, I believe, and heard and followed him. And John is well equipped to be able to take this passage and share it with the people because he was there. And so John wants to remind the believers that Christ was real and that he was a centerpiece for Christian living. By this time, persecution had scattered the church. Not far in history was the memories of the sacraments of the Old Testament system God had commanded his people to perform. And with all this, we have false teachers that were abounding and trying to convince people away from the reality and truth of Jesus. So there was a problem. And we know that unbelief will lead us away from salvation. And people were, could either be tempted to go back to the old judicial system or believe some other truth about the reality of salvation or sin or the work of Christ. And so John was concerned, and he gives it this morning to us to help us understand the basis of Jesus and what a Christian can possess in his life. And also mixed in with that, we have a responsibility. So the beginning part of the message, I would like to talk about Jesus. I would like to highlight Jesus. And at the latter part of the message, we'll talk a little more about our personal responsibility. That your joy may be full. That's what we're looking at. I have 7 points I'd like to focus on. Number one, Jesus makes our joy full. There's 4 aspects I'd like to think about under this. Jesus makes our joy full, and one is that Jesus is eternal. Did Jesus ever have a beginning? Some people teach that Jesus was a created being. We disagree with that. If that's true, Jesus would need to have a beginning. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is eternal. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning. He was not created at the beginning, but he was at the beginning. He was already existing. Jesus could not be eternal if he had been created. There's a few verses that I like to read. I'm going to come back to 1 John here. There's a few verses I'd like to read just to help understand this. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. I like to read those verses. Talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Jesus is eternal. I'm going to turn to Hebrews chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 8 and verse 10. Verse 8 and verse 10. Again, talking about Jesus, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now I'm in the wrong passage. It's not making sense. Hebrews 1 verse 8. I was in chapter 2. Hebrews 1 verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Jesus is eternal. Revelation chapter 1. I like to read verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega. These are the words of Jesus. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Do you believe this morning that Jesus is eternal? I do. I can't explain it to you, but I believe it. How could someone always exist? I don't know, except that it was God. But the question that I like to ask this morning is, who could we trust more than an eternal being who always was and always existed? There's no one better to trust. And so I believe this morning our joy can be full knowing that Jesus is eternal. And I tell you, there's a lot of people that have a lot of fear today. It could be due to the virus or some other problem, and people are trying to fix these problems on this world. Well, it's not all bad, but they're not going to get them all fixed. It's just the way it is. It's not going to work. Psalms 102, verse 26, they shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture thou shalt, as a vesture thou shalt change them, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Does that mean something to you this morning, that Jesus is eternal? Does that have any impact on what kind of joy we possess in our life? Because we know that there's someone out there that always was and always will be, and that's who we're trusting. Knowing that Jesus is eternal gives the believer a great deal of assurance that your joy may be full. Another aspect about Jesus is that Jesus is God's Son. This is under Jesus makes our joy full. We're looking at B now. Jesus is God's Son. This means that Jesus is God and that he is a divine being. He is a deity. In John 1 verse 3, John connects the believer's fellowship with the Father and the Son as equal. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It doesn't divide the two. Okay? They're equal. The Bible supports this also in other scriptures. I'm going to turn back to John chapter 1. I'm going to come back to our passage then. John chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 and 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Again, we see Jesus as eternal. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Okay, you see, God and Jesus, they were there, okay? They're equals. Philippians 2, verse 6. It's another verse I'm going to read. Philippians 2, verse 6. Speaking about Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So we see here, Jesus is God's Son. He's equal with God. The Jews hated when Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Guess what they tried to do? They tried to pick up stones and throw it at him. They didn't like that. You know, people still reject Jesus as God's Son today. It's really sad. But just like they rejected it back then, they reject it now. And I asked the question, why would people refuse to accept Jesus as the Son of God? What is so hard about that? I don't know exactly why all, but I know it goes against human theology. We could just ask the question. For one, how can God be a Trinity? Okay? I'm one person, but how can God be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and be three? It's one and yet three different beings. How can God be born as an infant? How could God in heaven, the Father of all, come down into a little baby, Jesus? How can that be? And so people can wrestle with those thoughts. But I wonder if the greatest rejection of this is because of pride. And pride is the greatest barrier that one must lay aside in order to receive truth. In essence, the person who believes that Jesus is God's Son, the one who does not believe this, he's not willing to give his life over to his control or have faith in something that seems impossible. And so we see that belief asks for surrender. Jesus is the Son of God, so there is no excuse to reject him because he is a sovereign authority. And so there's people who want to reject that because they don't want that accountability. They don't want what comes with that package. But you know, as you think of a believer, that is a great comfort to us, to know that Jesus is the Son of God, an eternal being, a Son of God. And in essence, as Christians, as believers, we can give Jesus the steering wheel of our life. And we'll never need to be worried that we're going to get stuck. It takes humility, it takes faith. Takes commitment. Jesus is not a created being, but an eternal Son of God with the authority and power to navigate one safely through the obstacles of life. That your joy may be full. Jesus being the Son of God, does that do something for you? To know that Jesus is the Son of God is a real comfort to the believer. Another aspect about Jesus is come in the flesh. And we touched on this just a little bit. Jesus is God, but also became human through birth. Now, is that possible? Only this birth. A genuine miracle not applicable for any other being. It is unique. It is naturally impossible, but it is possible with God. What does verse 1 and 2 say? Verse 1 and 2 tells us that John had heard Jesus. He had seen Jesus. He had looked on Jesus. He had touched Jesus. And he was bearing witness of Jesus. And John seemed to be very intent on making this point because he knew that people were missing it. There was an important part of this. Jesus coming in the flesh. Later, John writes about the Antichrist. If you look, probably the next chapter and on, talks about the Antichrist. They wanted to disprove Christ, be against him. They were trying to deceive people. And so unbelief of Jesus' earthly ministry would in essence destroy the faith for Christian living. I like to look at a few more scriptures to prove that Jesus came in the flesh. I'm going to turn back to John chapter 1 again. And I like to read verses 14 through 18. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I think I'll stop there. Makes my point. Jesus came down to this world as a little baby. He was eternal. He was God, and he came in the flesh. And again, why did people want to reject Christ coming in the flesh? Well, in this chapter here, it talks about light and darkness. And Jesus came into the world to shine his light. And the Bible says, in another passage, it says that men loved darkness rather than light. They didn't want their evil sin to be exposed. The other question that we could ask is, what is the significance of Jesus coming in the flesh? And this morning we understand that as believers, as Christian people, as people who have been raised under the teaching of the gospel. And the story is simple, that Jesus came to bring us salvation, right? We understand that. But alongside of his mission, he also showed us how to, by love, serve one another. And in his ministry, Jesus came, he suffered, he endured temptation, and now he understands what we're going through. Scripture tells us that he was tempted in all points like unto us, yet without sin. And since we know that Jesus was on the earth, and we know he was real, and we know he knows exactly what we're going through, doesn't that give you assurance? Isn't that real in your life? Jesus coming in the flesh, he knows what you're going through in life. He showed us love. He showed us compassion. Does that give you joy in your heart this morning? That your joy may be full. That's what we're looking at. Another aspect of this about Jesus, it says Jesus shows us eternal life. Verse 2. And show unto you that eternal life. Jesus wanted to give us assurance about the future. Now, we have a lot of people in this world that are dreading the future. I think, frankly, that's one reason they're so concerned about this virus is because they're scared they're going to die. And, you know, I don't think any of us want to die, necessarily. We know it's coming, but we don't really just Well, maybe if we're having a hard day, sometimes we wish that, don't we? That's not a good thought, okay? But people are dreading the future. And they may claim denial about the reality of eternity. Some people might say, well, it doesn't exist. But we know that each person is created with a never-dying soul. We know that. And as we think of eternal life, there's some religions that claim that, you know, if you do certain things, if you do this right, and if you do this right, and if you do this right, you know what, you're going to gain something in the future. This morning we see that Jesus shows us eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. Salvation comes through Jesus. And outside of Jesus, there is no hope for eternal life. And so Jesus is the eternal Son of God who came in the flesh to show us the way to eternal life. 1 John 5:13 reads like this. These things have I written unto you that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm sorry, I missed some. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this morning, as we think of eternity and as we think about the future, doesn't that give you hope? Doesn't give you joy? You know, if I wouldn't know where I was going to go, if I wouldn't know what my future held, it would bring fear to my life. But knowing we have eternal life through Jesus Christ is the greatest security we could ever look forward to. And so we notice that the believer has hope. He has assurance for a better future. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Secondly, I'd like to move on. The message of Jesus makes our joy full. Verse 5, this is the message which we have heard and declare unto you. I've heard a lot of things in my life, and you older ones have heard a lot more, okay? And you probably have to admit that there's some messages that you just would have rather not heard or weren't worth hearing, right? Sometimes you get into those. It could be whatever. But I want to ask you a question this morning. I want you to think about this. Imagine if Jesus had not shared his message. Imagine if John said, well, and the disciples and Jesus' teachers that he had specifically called to carry on the work, imagine if they would have said, we're not passing that message on. Now the message would have got lost in human perspective. And this morning we could not experience the joy that John talks about. But thank God this morning that message has been delivered, and that's what we're looking at. We're looking at some of it, of God's word this morning, that message. And this message was not devastating. It wasn't depressing. But rather it was a message of hope. You know, if you have hope in your life, what do you have? You got some zeal, right? People that are hopeless, they don't feel like doing anything. Just some people don't even want to get out of bed. It's that bad, you know? They just, what's there to live for? Hope gives a person fresh courage. This message was a true message. It was, well, we hear about fake news, don't we? This ain't fake news media. This is something real, okay? It was a powerful message. It was a message that could change lives. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 are Jesus' words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of our Lord. What do we see? We see it presents healing. It presents deliverance. It presents recovery. And you know what? That all leads to joy, right? Those are the kind of words that are music to our ears. The message of Jesus makes our joy full. And this morning we're blessed to have that message. Number 3, God's light makes our joy full. God's light makes our joy full. I'm just going to turn back to John chapter 1 and read a few verses before I make more comments. In him was life. This is again talking about Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Jesus is the light. Did you know a person that's in the dark can't see where he's going? Have you ever been in a room and it's all dark, really dark, and you're trying to do something? It's not very productive, is it? You can't find your way, you're groping around, I know growing up we used to play Piggy Wants a Whistle in school, and we'd go down in the basement and it was all dark, and you know, it was a game that you played because you couldn't see the people, okay? And it wasn't like the light. If it would have been light, there would have been very little point maybe in playing it, at least in the building that we had there. I suppose you could have played it, but it wouldn't have been as fun. It wouldn't have been as effective. Someone who's in the dark is a slave to his circumstances and his surroundings. And those living in darkness at times sense evil powers and make them fear and tremble. The only way out is to let the light of God shine in your life so we know where to go. And this morning we're talking about God's light. We're comparing that difference between darkness. The darkness that holds you captive. The darkness that doesn't allow you to be free. The darkness where you can't see anything. Okay? It's all dark. Well, light. The light of God is a welcome sight to those who want to be delivered from fear. It makes a way of spiritual escape from the clutches of Satan. And I may have already told you this story already. I know that one of the town girls that my wife or family worked with would call them up. Might have even been in the night because she could feel the evil around. She just felt like Satan was after her. And she called someone because I guess she knew that there was light there, I guess. I guess that's why she made the call. And so she would call someone. She was in that darkness. Matthew 4:16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. The light is a joyous sight to a sin-sick person. We talked about the poor. We talked about those in bondage. This morning, if you're in that category and you're feeling that oppression from the darkness and you went out and you're sick of it and you're tired of that life, that light shining in is a welcome sight. That your joy may be full. The light is a joyous sight to a sin-sick person. God's light makes our joy full. Number four, fellowship with God makes our joy full. Now, there's people around that are pretty lonely. You know, you go to some people's houses and maybe they don't have any children because maybe they didn't have any for one, or maybe they only had one or two and they passed on before, or maybe the relationships are bad. I have a neighbor that, I just can't figure out why his son or daughter doesn't want anything to do with him. And my heart goes out to them. It's just so sad. People with no fellowship are lonely beings. They have no identity. They walk around with long faces. They have a longing. But you know what? They might be unwilling to fellowship with God. They are unwilling to fellowship with God. It's too close and revealing. There's people that want fellowship, but they don't want to fellowship with God. Okay? It's just too close. Verse 3, we notice that the fellowship is with each other and with the Father and the Son. Truly our fellowship, let's back up. That ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now there's some people who want to accept the Father, but they refuse to accept the Son. There's other people who say, well, I'd like to accept the Father and the Son, but they don't want to accept the brotherhood. And to me, they come in a package. 1 John 2:23, just over the page in my Bible. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father. 1 John 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And this morning we're created with a longing for fellowship. We have something within us that wants to fellowship with something, with someone. We are created with a longing to be filled with the fullness of God. And God wants that fellowship with us. I think we heard about that in our devotions with Brother Reed this morning. To know God and have fellowship with him gives us satisfaction that is full and complete. Fellowship with God and each other gives us an identity and security that brings us rest. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? That your joy may be full. That fellowship that we can have. That fellowship to belong as a son of God. That communion. And when everything gets bad, we know that we're not left in the dark. There's still someone there. Even though maybe it appears that our friends leave us down. Number five, walking in the light makes our joy full. And I believe we understand as Christian people that we're born with a sinful nature. And there's people that like to minimize that. They say man's basically good. Well, that's not true. The Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I like to say that walking in the light takes a personal choice. And we need to decide whether we're going to walk in the light or whether we're going to walk in the darkness. Sin and darkness in our life robs our joy. To experience joy, we must choose to allow the light to expose the darkness within our life. We need to stop pretending. We need to stop living in denial. And John addresses this issue. What does he say? If we say, in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And so this morning, if we believe we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves. But you know what that lifestyle brings? It brings fear. It brings misery. It brings denial. And that whole package of that takes away joy. It's that simple. Sin and darkness rob our joy. Walking in the light sets us free. Walking in the light makes our joy full. Number six, there's another aspect, and now we're coming more to our responsibility. We touched on that a little bit. But number six, confession, cleansing, and forgiveness makes our joy full. And there's people that want to be free, but maybe they're unwilling to expose their life. And there's reasons, because, you know, I've sat with men and I know my own life. When you have a lot of bad things in there, you know what? It's not easy to come out. And when you sit with men who have darkness in their life and the cost is high and they need to confess it to get right with God, and if they don't, they just spin their wheels and they just wonder why God doesn't love them and why they can't move on their life. Well, no confession, no freedom, no fellowship. But as the light of Jesus shines in our life and reveals our sin, a believer needs to confess and repent of it. Forgiveness and cleansing only come through confession. Confession is not easy. It is difficult to admit failure. But what does he say in verse 9? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Bible tells us that if we come to him, he would no wise cast us out. How would it feel to you this morning to have all your sins forgiven? How does it feel to you as a believer to have cleansing when you know that you've aired out that dirty laundry in your life and you're free? That your joy may be full. Verse 7. And lastly, sharing the message brings us joy. To be a messenger of hope and light is an opportunity and privilege. We have heard the message, and I want to ask a question this morning. What about those who have not heard the message? Do you think there's people out in the world today that have not heard the message of Jesus? who have never heard about the eternal Lord Jesus, who is the Son of God, who came to earth to give his life for us so that we could experience eternal life, so that we could experience freedom, fellowship, and joy. You know, most of us like to share important news to another person. Matter of fact, we might even like to be first. We like to be the first ones to tell people. Well, is there a person in the world that never heard the message? Do you think that you could be the first to share it with them? I thought about that. It kind of gripped me as I thought about someone in the world who may be waiting for the gospel story, who maybe doesn't know the joy and peace. And I or you could be the first one to tell them. You know, the angels cannot understand redemption story. They can't understand that to the fullest. And what does the Bible say? It says there's joy over one sinner that repents. And how much more rejoicing should it give to us as the children of God that know what it means to be delivered from the darkness of sin and to experience the joy and fellowship of the Lord Jesus in our life. That your joy may be full. Jesus wants our joy full, but it's up to us to allow the truth and the message of Jesus to penetrate our heart and life. This morning, I just want to challenge you that Jesus can make your joy full. If you don't know him, talk to someone. Come to someone and tell them, you know what, I'm tired of living in sin. I'm tired of living in darkness. I want to know what it means for Jesus, joy in my life. And if you know that this morning, what a blessing. Keep that joy alive in your life. Don't just keep it to yourself. Share it with the others around you. God bless. Let's kneel for prayer.